Good afternoon, fellow gooners. Welcome to another episode of Cannon Talk. I'm yours, morning, my co-host as usual, Aiden.
How's it, guys? Arsenal take on City at the Etihad, and then we discuss the fixture, upcoming fixture against Luton.
Yeah, so the big clash at the Etihad, City without Edison, Stones, and Kyle Walker. I mean, what was your thoughts? Because, I mean, when this lineups came out, I mean, look, okay, I knew Arsenal had, like, you know, most of their guys, like, strong bench as well in it, but I mean, I was actually surprised that Edison didn't make it, because with Stones, I don't know, like, I think it was almost like just to put like a name on the bench and not, because I think they were like hit hard with injuries. But what was your thoughts like going into the game, seeing that?
Look, I thought initially that, you know, I would have taken a point at the Etihad regardless of the squad. I think if you had to ask me that a few weeks back, I still did the same thing, like, you know, just don't lose at the Etihad. But I kind of felt that there was some sort of hope to maybe pick up 3 points, like you said, when the likes of Edison wasn't involved. Kyle Walker, you know, who's a very tough player to play up against. Yeah, he does have his flaws, but, you know, his pace on the wing can be a bit devastating. And then, you know, you mentioned it, well, John Stones also missing. I mean, he's always had, you know, quite stellar performances whenever he's come up against us.
Yeah. So Arsenal did go in with, you know, like a strong, I wouldn't say like senior lineup, but I mean, it's like these guys now after a full year, you know, together, they are like, you know, almost like a good band that's now put together. And I mean, like the only change I wasn't like that too impressed with, I don't know about you, but I wasn't that happy that Jesus was in for Martin. Look, I know.
Yeah, me as well.
I just thought then maybe you have Trossard. I mean, look, of course, there's different podcasts that also had different opinions completely. Some were happy with what they saw and that. But I don't know. I just had a sort of feeling where, I mean, as we're going to like also get into it in the podcast, but I mean, I actually wanted somebody that's going to do a lot more, you know, hard grafting and hard running. I mean, I'm not saying he didn't do anything. I mean, he did like kind of, you know, put a shift in it. But I think when it came down to, like, as I said, when you get podcast now with cutthroat decisions, I think he's far from like the answer for it.
Yeah, I don't think that position specifically, you know, and I feel that sometimes Arteta tries to shoehorn Jesus into a team when it's not necessary, you know, at that point. Like we saw last season, it happened as well. You know, when Trossard was doing well in that false nine position, he almost, you know, Jesus was back, take Trossard out, put Jesus in. And, you know, it took him a bit of time to find his feet. Instead, you know, I would have let, you know, I know Martinelli also came back from injury, but maybe start Trossard again. I mean, he was getting goals.
Yeah.
He got that important goal against what was it, Porto. And look, if he wasn't performing well, then you could have actually said, you know, like, you know, take him off in the second half, maybe then bring Jesus on, or bring Jesus on for Havertz. You know, play Jesus in his natural number nine or false nine, whatever you want to call it, position, whilst, you know, let Martinelli or Trossard start outside on the left.
Yeah, I mean, to be honest, the way the whole game, you know, started playing, to me, it felt almost like, you know, modern-day chess. I mean, I know some are saying, yeah, it's a tactical battle. But, I mean, it was like move and counter, move constantly. Like,
yeah.
I mean, you could actually see the whole thing. Like, even if you, like just, almost like, say, a football connoisseur, you could actually see how things were playing out. Because I could see something was totally different about the way Arsenal were playing. If you take, say, if you compare this game to last season, we say somebody like Phil Foden or Grealish were just pulling the strings. Foden really got the kick of the game, and Haaland was like, you know, being locked up pretty tightly by a combination of Saliba and Gabriel.
Yeah, it was actually quite tight, you know, how we were marking them. And I think it was a game that, you know, if Arsenal, you know, even in that first half where City, you know, were just holding the ball, and You normally say that a lot about Arsenal as well. You know, we did have possession, but we're not doing much with the possession. Yeah. So, you know, it's like we did that with City as well. And I think if Arsenal had to just bag a goal early on in the first half, or not even early on, just sometime in the first half, I think City could have been in big trouble. Because like you said, Foden was not pulling the strings. It's like every time he gets the ball, he's on him. And then Gabriel Saliba is on Haaland. Even De Bruyne looked sometimes a bit you know, flustered.
Yeah, because, I mean, as I said, it was like almost like a sort of domino effect because, you know, look, like Pep and the and his team, you know, they did come out of the traps quite fast. But, I mean, you know, they would, like, normally, like, just cruise through, like, teams, like, you know, like, actually with us also, they were, you know, kind of running with the ball through our, like, the first part, of first third of the pitch, second third of the pitch. And then the minute they came up to the final third of the pitch, then they made almost like a red wall of Arsenal. And, I mean, you could see they were struggling because all of a sudden that there's now leads me to what you now mentioned with Kevin De Bruyne, because every time he was like looking up, thinking he's got the outlet of Silva on the one side or Foden on the other side, they were not getting that sort of opportunities to get those run-ins on Arsenal, because it was almost like, oh, we were almost like kind of flooding those sort of outlets for them.
And you can actually see the difference, intelligent type of player. I know Declan Rice did have his moment giving the ball away and things like that. But I mean, that intelligence of him sitting with that back four, almost making it even, you know, harder to break down.
And, you know, I fully agree with you also with that, that thing with that almost like that sort of cutthroat instinct in that first half, because that's what leads me now to that thing of Jesus, because I mean, he was set up perfectly, I think, a few times in that first half by Arsenal, like, you know, the rest of the squad. Like, I'm like half teeing him up to you know, set up, like, a goal for himself. And he was, like, twisting and turning and twisting and turning. And I thought to myself, I mean, but, like, you're not playing, like, say a Sheffield United, we're going to maybe get away with, you know, doing, like, a body feint here, body feint there, and whatever. But, I mean, by the time you do, like, one little delay, they're going to be on your backside.
Yeah, and there were a few times where he delayed it a bit too much. And I think if we were to open up City in that first encounters of the first half, or like, you know, when we started growing into the game, because, you know, to be fair, in the first part of that first half, it was all City until we, you know, started, you know, playing less within ourselves. It was obviously all probably tactical, but when we still started coming out of the blocks, if we had to bag a goal, I think, you know, on the day, you know, a lot of the times you say you don't want to score at City, you know, there's a right time to score against City normally, but I think if you had to score against him in this game, because of the frustration, I think the players would have, you know, found themselves in a precarious situation at the Etihad, 1-0 down, not being able to break through, Haaland not getting the freedom. You know, you could have seen yourself probably walking away with another two or three goals in that game.
Because, I mean, like, look, my son was getting, like, annoyed with the way things were playing out that first 20 minutes, because he said, like, we're always giving the ball away and we're not... Yeah. Or if we do press, it's not, like, you know, that intense or whatever, but we're always just backing off. So I said, look, you're going to face it. It was, for me, okay, he was getting worked up. I wasn't, like, that riled like I would normally get in matches. Because I could see, you could clearly see the sort of gameplay we were at, because it's almost like, you know, you get huff and puff, but we're going to try to weather your storm. But then after that 20 minutes, we were then, like, starting to get that, I mean, maybe not so frequent chances, but we were starting to sort of break the lines there with Man City.
Yeah, no, I think that they started losing, you know, losing their shape and their discipline, even because they were also giving the ball away. And it was very uncharacteristic of them. And I feel that, you know, if we had to just, like I said, take our chances, you could have seen, you know, City being in almost uncharted territory, because they're not a team that, you know, that happens to them much. And I think you could see there was a bit of panic in them as well. You know, as much as you say that... you know, they were at home and Arsenal, you know, the stories of Arsenal being negative, or like, you know, the first half looking negative. And I can understand, you know, where your son comes from, where he kind of was a bit frustrated. But I think that was just the name of the game, you know. Yeah, exactly. We've gone to the Etihad or Anfield many, many times, coming there confident, open. And then, you know, we get smashed, you know, 4-5, 5-0, 5-1. And then, you know, they say, you know, Arsenal lacks this discipline. You know, they can't go there and play ugly. And I mean, you know, that first half is exactly what we did. Had we maybe our corners, Declan Rice as well, uncharacteristic of even the way he was hitting those corners as well. I mean, couldn't pass the first man.
And I mean, you know what actually made me chuckle when you started seeing the way the Arsenal or Arteta's plan play itself out. Look, they knew... With Guardiola playing out as a left back, I mean, look, it's almost like what we would not say the square pegs in the round holes, because look, he's normally a center back at Leipzig and for Croatia, and now for City, he's also kind of forced into playing as a left back. So now when you watch him play, you can actually see Arsenal's giving him that outlet as a, on the left, because they knew he couldn't cross a ball to save his life. Did you notice that?
Overall play was decent, but that final touch of his was struggling.
Yeah, you could see. He's like, you know, it's more like he's just hoofing the ball into the box and like hitting and hoping. But I mean, we were then, of course, dealing with everything. As I mentioned out before, with the, you know, not giving players like Silver Foden, KDB, and Haaland a sniff, I just thought on the other end, I just felt the chances were getting, you know, for especially Jesus, downright wasteful, I felt. Because even in that, when we now work ourselves now to the second half, you know, there was like some great work done on the, I think, the right flank when they ended up cross. Was it Saka that ended up getting the ball across the 6-yard box?
Jesus.
Yeah. And what I didn't understand is, I mean, look, you've played football like in different positions, but I mean, you've also played up front. I mean, your main interest is to get to yourself ahead of the defender.
Yeah.
Not to like steal in or stab in and like maybe just, you know, stick out the foot even and get the ball past the keeper. But what he does is he does like a sort of decoy run towards the ball first. And I thought, okay, now you're in, you can score. And then he almost like he stops himself and he goes around the back. And of course, that is when Akanji gets the block in.
Yeah, I mean, even then, you know, he still could have been a bit sharper, stole onto the ball, or, you know, been more aware and be awake, you know, in case he messes up. But I thought that was one of the glorious opportunities. Yeah. I know if you get that in, game changes as well.
Because, I mean, look, if you remember, even in that first, I think, 120 seconds of the second half, when Kovacic have that long-range shot, which, I mean, I thought he was going to actually get that curve in at the end, that when I think he did like a hopeful shot, like with a bit of fade on it. And I first thought, like, you know, Raya had it covered, but it was quite close to you know, coming inside of the post, the way he was hitting, put spin on the wall.
Yeah, but we also had that, you know, speaking about Kovacic, when you brought him up, I thought it was a one where he kind of, you know, also, I think it was in the first half where he gave it to Odegaard. And I thought we could have also been a bit more ruthless there, you know, when he played it under his back pass, and then I thought he was gonna be able to, you know, capitalize on it.
Waited for Jesus, wasn't it?
Yes.
When Jesus did his whole twisting and turning. So as the game, you know, wanes down, like in that latter parts of the second half, you do see, you know, a ploy playing itself out at the Etihad, similar to what was playing out at the Emirates early on in the season, where we almost like I think that the more despondent City were getting at the end, like almost like desperate as you think said, you could actually see Arsenal were trying to also not try to pick the lock now close to the end of the game. Because as you said that at the start of the podcast now, that your timing of the goals at the Etihad, you also have to get spot on. Because I mean, if you want to score too early, or I mean, if you're going to score flurry maybe to save you. But I mean, if you want to steal a goal in the first like 10, 20 minutes of the game, they're just trying to hang on. I thought it was going to be smashing to grab, because, I mean, by that time, Trossard came on and Martinelli came on. And, I mean, it actually rejuvenated the side greatly. Because, I mean, I thought at first with Doku coming on and Grealish, I thought, but it's like, you know, these guys are almost like natural dribblers. But, I mean, we managed, I mean, almost like we didn't win, like, in the defensive department, when we saw, I was like, Doku would probably get the better of Kvyat. Immediately they brought on Tomiyasu.
Yeah, that was a very smart move. It was like the moment Doku came on, you just see Arteta going to the bench, like, you know, bring on Tomiyasu.
Yeah, and I mean, look, there were also moments that what's his name? Ben White was struggling a bit with Grealish. But I mean, by the time Saka, I mean, you could also see Saka was having an off game, because I think he, even though he, like, you know, didn't have international duty, but I just think, I don't know, something about him looked very fatigued or not 100%. Because I mean, look, he had these little moments in the game, but there were times, I think there was also a point in that first half where Ben White also spoke to him about almost like kind of helping him out in the back, because I think he was like letting a lot of times Guardiola, and even at the, when he was playing, Ake get, you know, runs on him.
Yeah, I don't know. This isn't like, you know, Saka's best games, one of his best games, because like you said, it just something just seemed off. He didn't seem up for it, you know. He didn't seem like that guy that has the confidence to take on. Wasn't he started reading? You know, was it Guardiola?
Yeah.
I mean, I thought he was going to take him on because I mean, I thought he could probably win that battle if he had to, but I just like he was just lacking something while he was playing.
So, I mean, look, you know, with that last 6 minutes of the game, Arsenal get a fantastic move, you know, build up a fantastic move. Thomas Partey breaks the line with, I mean, one pass. I mean, it gets through, I think, two City players.
Yeah.
Odegaard gets it. And, I mean, he does that sort of, almost like that cutthroat passes that he played against Liverpool to split the whole defense. He gets that pass through to the on-rushing Trossard. And, you know, When the ball came to Trossard and I saw the way his body angle was, and I thought, God, he's not, you can see he's not taking the ball, because it's almost like when you do, I mean, I'm sure you did relay running back in the day.
Yeah.
When you have to get the baton, you already have to stand in sort of almost like a sprint stance already, and you have to wait. And I think he also got kind of either ahead of the ball, or the ball wasn't fizzed with that pace that he needed to. You know, almost like, because you need it almost like to take a ball in your stride.
In your stride and off you go. Like, if they touch you, it's maybe, you know, in the box, or like if they do catch up to you. But, you know, like you said there, you know, Trossard almost got it all wrong, but you still thought, you know, he might have the presence of mind just to kind of, you know, those outside of your foot passes where you just hit it around the defender, but into Martinelli's path.
Because I think, like, I think when he screwed up that touch, he should have gone, like, you know, quickly in his mind. Plan B, just like, I'm looking, he's strong with both feet. So, even with his left foot, you could get like just a crossfield shot, a flat crossfield shot, because Otego was not going to make the defensive run or
yes,
out to cut out the cross. So, it's almost like City was so like flat, like, you know, the defensive line was so flat. I thought that just like a nice arcing ball straight to Martin.
Yes.
I mean, he can tee it up, but I mean, by the time he, as I said, now he got the touch wrong and whatever. By the time they was already starting to flood him, the only option he did have was just shooting. And I mean, he ended up just blasting ball over.
Yeah, that was, you know, glorious chance. I mean, if that had to go in, you know, I'm not saying the title races would have been, you know, won at that point, but I think as an Arsenal fan, you would have believed. I think going to the Etihad and beating, you know, City 1-0, or you're beating City, yeah, that you would
have had that sort of Overmars Old Trafford goal feel to it.
Definitely. You probably would have thought to yourself, is this it? You know, if he scores, yeah, or we score that and win the game, you start dreaming and believing, like, you know, is this it? You know, could we win the title? Because it's almost like, you know, you're tied on goal difference against Liverpool, but it's almost like, you know, one slip up from Liverpool and suddenly they're chasing. And I mean, you know, unfortunately for us, you know, that's where the game petered out. And, you know, brilliant result. I mean, if you had told me that we would have gotten this result against City last season, it would have been brilliant. Yeah. Still brilliant result, but in the context now, it's almost like, you know, advantage Liverpool.
Let me put it like this with regards to the game, you know, come to the full time. Because look, in that moment also, just before the end of the game, Haaland still totally miscued and miskicked the ball at the end. But I mean, you could see, it just shows also the intensity of the game, of how on a knife edge it was. And I mean, even the likes of what the treble winners, you know, didn't, you know, couldn't keep their cool in front of goal, like any of them. So, yeah, as you said, it was a good result. I mean, look, of course, you see different quarters will say this, that, and or even like from the Arsenal fan base. But I just think to myself, because even when like sitting there watching the game as an Arsenal fan, and that I didn't have that sort of defeatist sort of attitude, like, or yeah, mentality of, God, it was like, you know, bad. Because I just think when you look at your opponent and you see how their faces are, they looked like they felt that they lost the points, and we like had a sort of body language, like, you know, we won something out of this today. Because I think, as you said, we've gone there, you know, got humiliated over and over the last like 7-8 years already.
Yeah.
And this time it's like Arteta's starting to become like a sort of tough nut to crack for Pep at the moment. If you take the season.
I mean, if you did tell me the start of the season, and you know, Arsenal fans can say whatever, or pundits, whatever, can say whatever. If they offered you 4 points against Man City, over two games. You take it. I mean, regardless of what's happening in the title race, nobody really takes points of Man City. I mean, we've beaten them and we drew against them. We've beaten Liverpool and drew against Liverpool. It comes down to those games. This was a good result. But if you look at the games, a 2-2 game with Fulham, that was points that was dropped, you know, 2 points. And then you have also that maybe that West Ham game, that Newcastle game was contentious. We could have maybe drawn that game. So you look at it like that and you say to yourself, you know what? I don't know what people are speaking so negatively about this game against Man City. Who goes to Man City and beats them? Or who goes to Man City and keeps them quiet? Nobody's done it in the last 2 years.
It's actually 3 years, is it?
Three years. Well, there you have it then. There you have it at the Etihad. I mean, we, Saliba and Gabriel, you know, as young as Saliba was, you know, also bossed the defense. So, you know, you, regardless of what happens at the end of the title race, you know, you have to look at this game as well as improvement. You know, we beat City once and we went to go draw at their home turf. So you take that.
Yeah, because I mean, the only way I see Arsenal going on at the moment, like, you know, bar, you know, what even happens now this season, it's like everything is just going onwards and upwards at the moment. Because
yes,
it actually, you do see the trajectory, the upward trajectory of the squad as well. Because look, come the summer, I think it's going to be tweaked. That the squad is going to be made even stronger. You know, whatever shortcomings, or even if you have to build on, if we do have a successful season, like with the silverware at the end of the rainbow, then fine. It's you're still going to have to build and whatever. Because I think the club and Arteta wants almost like have a sort of nouveau that you want to keep the squad at it's, you know, keeping them at that level. Like, once we can get to the top of that mountain, I mean, at the moment, we're still climbing that peak, getting the needy, like the trophy is at the end of that, or at the tip of that peak. And if we can get there, then it's like, you know, we're going to be kings of the hill. And then it's like for you guys to try to knock us off.
Yeah, no, that's actually, you know, we're heading, like if you look at United, you know, they, you know, have no identity at the moment. You look at Chelsea, you know, they also kind of lost. And then, you know, Liverpool probably are going to have to go through the same thing. You know, it's just kind of Man City who, you know, can they actually go further than they actually are? I know they could, I mean, you know, they probably could sign a few players, but it's like Arsenal, guys still need to get to their peak.
Yeah. Because, I mean, I just think Liverpool are going to probably sort of have a identity issue again when they have to, you know, when it comes down to the coach. Because, like, how many, look, it took like a few attempts with us before we found the right one. And then I think with Liverpool, like, look, it took a while for them to, you know, go from Rodgers to Klopp. And then almost, like, keep Klopp. But, I mean, the thing is, like, now how do they go on? Like, once he's gone, do they just take... Because, I mean, look, Xabi Alonso already said no. He's not interested in Liverpool job now. And De Zerbi has also said no, he's not interested, even though they now made approaches to him. So, sure. It kind of almost, like, leaves him also, like, eventually in the doldrums. And then we'll see also how the... You know how things go for them the next season or so.
Yeah, it's gonna be it. Look, Arsenal are now in that stage. You know, they always say the wheel turns. You know, we've been on top of the wheel. We've been, you know, that on the decline slowly, and then, you know, kind of at the bottom, slowly getting our way up top. And, you know, hopefully that we can, you know, cement our spot there with a trophy. I think, you know, this season, I mean, even that Bayern Munich, I don't know if you saw the game where they lost to Dortmund 2-0. And, you know, I think Arsenal could go there. You know, even though we have the underdogs tag, I think we could find ourselves doing very well against him if we have the same approach that we did against City. You know, and, you know, kind of, if we can get the result at the Emirates, I mean, we could go to the Allianz Arena. And this is a different Arsenal side.
Yeah,
I mean, you've seen Bayern Munich play now regularly. I've only, you know, as a betting man, sometimes you know you throw some money on them, but at the end of the day, you know, they seem quite shaky. You know, whatever they come up against, they always seem to be getting punched.
And I mean, like if I can just, I mean, of course, they still like a few weeks away, But I mean, like for me already, when I could see the vulnerabilities of Bayern is that heart of the defense. Because, I mean, if you get past, like, say, with even on the high press or whatever, and you get past someone like Musiala, who's, you know, play like, he's, like, you know, a fantastic talent. I like him a lot. And, I mean, I'm not a big Bayern fan, But I mean, he plays with a hell of a lot of maturity for somebody that young. But I mean, once you breach that area of theirs, of Bayern, and you get at, and I mean, what I find actually crazy is that Thomas Tuchel has almost like two of the slowest centre-backs in De Ligt and Eric Dier in the heart of their defence. And I mean, I just think to myself, if you play with enough pace, or any, you know, any players across that front three that have pace to burn, they're going to have a field day to go down that, especially down the middle of them. Because, so, look, sometimes that the fullbacks of Bayern will overcommit like that, Alphonso Davies and John Kimmich. I mean, also fantastic players, but I mean, when they do that sort of risk play, they leave that Dier and De Ligt right open for you to pick apart. And that's teams have been doing that this season, whether it's top teams or even mid-table teams, have taken Bayern apart just through that type of thing.
Yeah, let's hope we can do it. But, you know, now we focus our attention on another game at the Emirates against Luton Town, the Hatters. You know, a very thrilling encounter when we got them at Kenilworth Road. You know, I don't know. You know, you can't take a game like this lightly. You know, you kind of need to go in there and treat them like you're playing, you know, just another side. Because, I mean, they are fighting relegation and, you know, they are a team that, you know, will do what it takes to try to get the win or even take a point. You know, a point for them is gold.
Yeah, and I mean, look, I was just checking up their stats. I mean, the last five games, they drew two and lost three. But I mean, those games that they lost, those three games, it's all losing by one goal margin. So it's all tight affairs with them. I mean, with that defeat against Tottenham, I think they ended up scoring first.
Yeah.
And I think it's only like eventually got kind of, you know, broken
they
down.
Always score first. They always seem to score first and then it just collapsed. And I actually feel sorry for them because out of all the three teams that came up, you know, I kind of have a soft spot for Luton. So, you know, obviously not this game, but I hope, you know, they managed to get enough points to stay up. But I have a question for this game. Would you rest the likes of Odegaard? Or would you try to still throw him into the game? Because you could see also he got a bit leggy. You know, there were times where he could have played a pass, but then he passed it straight to the centre-back. And
you know, the thing is, I would actually still go as, you know, strong as we can. Yeah. I'm just thinking, then I'd rather see Luton off quick, and then you take them off. Then you let them, you know, come off and rest, and then you, like, you know, bring your squad players in. Because I also want to have a, you know, like a strong setup. Because I mean, Brighton away is not going to be also like a, you know, a picnic anyway.
And there's Bayern Munich after that. So, you know, it's just going to be, like you said, it's possibly a good idea to do what you said then.
But I just think, look, this is another point that I was going to now almost like lead into anyway, because injuries also haven't been tied to Rob Edwards' squad, because for this game alone tonight, they're going to be missing Bell, Ogbeni, and I think Ogbeni is normally the guy that's, you know, leading the line for them up front or even as a winger. Then Adebayo, he's going to be out for today. Osho is going to be out. Brown is out. Anderson, Nakamba, and that centre-back, of course, that with the heart problems, Lockyer.
I think we could
Arsenal's guys out, there's only Timber that's still out. Because everyone else is out now.
It'll be interesting to see if Partey gets a goal and maybe play Rice, Partey and Rice, Partey and Jorginho perhaps. And, you know, maybe that guys can get you the result. But Rice also needs a bit of a break because it's going to be quite hectic. The game is going to be back to back. You know, you go Brighton away and then you play Bayern Munich and then you play another game and then Bayern Munich again. So Arteta is going to have to kind of manage his cards wisely.
But you know, like, now that you, I don't know, now you hate to put me on a spot now. Because now, the more you know, discussing it, and I'm thinking, you know, maybe Aiden is right. Maybe we should just, like, you know, really mix it up tonight. Because I'm not thinking, like, maybe you give now this sort of minutes now to, say, Zinchenko. And then maybe let Odegaard rest. And as you said, then you go with the midfield three of Jorginho, Partey and Rice, and then of course
maybe give Jesus also maybe a chance to start, you know, not change the team fully, but like, because like, where do these guys get a break? Because I mean, Brighton away, you're not gonna get an easy game, you know.
I mean, look, for me, it's just also like when you look at, like, watching the a bit of the, I don't watch all of it, but I mean, watching the Brighton game, against Liverpool, they also came out very fast. I mean, they caught Liverpool like after 2 minutes with a goal. But afterwards, it's almost like, I don't know, it's like they, it's like Liverpool played fantastic. It's like they went into like sort of self-destruct mode. Right? So, I don't know. They like at the moment, they are very weird nut to crack. Because I think, look at Matomo is out for the season, if I saw right. If you think of, okay, I know we're not supposed to even jump that far in, but I mean, I just know, I think Matomo is out, and I mean, he's been like the guy that was also carrying them a lot with, you know, up front. I mean, they've got even like someone like Welbeck now carrying the weight and the goals for him at the moment. But I mean, back to, you know, the Luton game, I just think, yeah, it's going to, I think, look, they're going to probably come out and kind of try to be brave in it. But I think once that first goal falls, I think the floodgates will just open.
I think a second goal needs to come also, because we've seen what happened with one goal leads against Luton. You know, you can see your thing. But, you know, every probably going to taper off for the Luton game. I just want to give you something, you know, with regards to the Luton game and the lineup, because, like I said, our next, call it five fixtures, maybe, or six fixtures, it's going to be, so it's Luton, right? Then we go to Brighton away. Then we play Bayern Munich in the Champions League. Then we play Aston Villa in the Premier League. Then we play Bayern in the Champions League. Then we play Wolves. And then Chelsea and Tottenham. So it's not going to be any of those games coming up now. It's not going to be a case of, oh, I can tinker my team. Yeah, I think this is probably your only chance I'm not saying give play, like, no, rotate wholesale changes. But, you know, try to get... There's two approaches, I guess. It's either you can go start hard, get the goals so that you don't have, you know, squeaky bum time, or you take the risk of rotating slightly, and you could catch yourself, you know, 1-0 down and chasing a game. So, you know, it's catch 22.
I think, like, you know, somebody, I'm not sure if it was now Gunner Blog or somebody that was in that podcast I was listening to the other day, and he was actually saying, for him, it feels, you know, something what you now mentioned, but it's like, he said, like, you know, now it's almost like the moment for people like the, you know, the likes of Smith Rowe, Thomas Partey, Jesus, and them to, you know, stand up and be counted and show that you part of, you know, really part of the squad and can contribute almost like even greater than what you normally were bringing to the table. Because I think right now, then that is actually what brings, you know, things to the table. Then, like, you know, everybody's not chipping in as a unit, because I think that is the thing that will probably, or maybe even, you know, carry us over the line at the end. Because I think you can't just have, you know, Rice putting his body on the line week in, week out, and whatever. And you need somebody like Partey to almost like stay fit now for 9 games remaining or whatever it is. You know, almost like to help us now, you know, get over the line now. Because I think a lot was expected of Smith Rowe. Like, he gets his run, then he gets injured, and it's been also like the same story for Jesus. But I think right now it's almost like a thing where they must also try to keep their, you know, mind and body strong, and then see that they can also pull their weight now in the squad.
100%. I mean, it is a squad that takes you to a Premier League title, and I mean, like you said, you know, Smith Rowe should be putting his hand up for a few minutes as well. You know, even if he leads the attacking mid line, you know, instead of
a person also forgets, even someone like Fabio Vieira, because our things have gone with him injury wise. We sometimes almost like half forget of certain players that have been out of the squad so long.
Yeah, 100%. I forgot about that. I just realized about Vieira when I watched that goal against United, when he plays that ball to Jesus, and I thought, oh yeah, we still have him. That, you know, I think he also needs a bit of a confidence boost as well.
Yeah. So now we move on to the final part of the podcast, the just talking about section. I'm not going to go too deep into it, but I mean, I just had to point it down to bring up to you. But I mean, like, look with the result, like, the first things I heard was, you know, there's a spew of negative comments, whether it's like Talk Sport or Sky Sport and whatever. And I was just thinking to myself, what did they expect us to go to the Etihad and almost like just say, okay, we're going to now play football. And then we're going to come down like with a probably 5-6-0 defeat. And then they go, look how naive they are.
Yeah.
So, God, just...
I'm tired of that. You know, I didn't even take, actually anything to heart. You know, normally I sometimes listen, I'm like, oh, you know, maybe they were right. But like, I actually, you know, bought in 100% what Arsenal did. And, you know, sometimes you need to pick your battles. You're not going to win every game of the season. Some games you say, okay, you know what? We might have to deviate away from our normal plan. And we've always cried out that Arsenal do something different. You know, like I said, when we beat City at the last time at the Etihad, it came from a penalty and a set piece. You know, that a set piece goal could have happened if deliveries were a bit better. But, you know, if we had to do that against City every season for the next 5 years and pick up a point, I'll take it. You know, as long as you're picking your points, other areas of the season, like I go back to that Fulham game where we were leading 2-1 against 10 men, you know, that is 2 points dropped, which we could have had in the place of this. So, you know, I just don't think you can take the pundits or anybody's or Sky Sports even seriously, because they're just clearly looking to slate Arsenal. If we had to beat City, it probably would have been like, you know, Arsenal just, you know, were too emotional in this game. They're not going to have the legs now. They probably used it all to beat City, and now they're going to run short, and City will still win the league. So, you know, it's how about give us credit? Why aren't they criticizing City?
And I mean, like, the nicest thing is, like, if you take the league also, of course, it's like early days in that now with a sort of Arteta getting a sort of one up over Pep. But I mean, it's like they are making life so difficult for City not to even get a shot on target, even. Because,
yeah.
Haaland, I mean, if you take, I don't know how many shots Haaland's actually had. He's actually tested Raya at the moment, like, since Raya's winning goal for us.
Yeah, no, I don't remember any shots of his. I mean, I think, you know, this Arsenal side is growing in stature, and I think, you know, if it's not going to be this season, yeah, I do think next season there's going to be something, you know, big that we're going to lift, or something at least in our hands.
Yeah, I think this wave we're riding right now, it's looking good, going on the up. Okay, guys, hope you guys have a fantastic rest of the week. We'll probably be back the weekend to preview the Brighton game and the Bayern game. Hope you guys enjoy the fixture tonight. Take care, guys. Bye.
Cheers, guys, and I'll see you to the 3 points.